and welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes. I'm an author, lifestyle entrepreneur, former pro athlete, and world record holder in football. My goal with the School of Greatness is to share with you stories from the most inspiring business minds, world-class athletes, and influential celebrities on the planet to help you find out what makes great people great. So please leave us a review over on iTunes and join us on the web at schoolofgreatness.com to be notified of each episode when it comes out. Now let's get after it. I hope you are having an amazing week wherever you are in the world. And today's guest is a very special guest, very close to my heart. His name is Brian Clay, and I'll tell you why in a second why he's so special. But he's an elite athlete who discusses the balance of mental, physical, and emotional health to help achieve the greatest feats in athletic competition. So some interesting facts about Brian Clay. He was born in Texas and raised in Hawaii. He had his name and his picture on the cover of the Wheaties box for participating in the Beijing Olympics. He won silver in the 2004 Olympics and finished first at the 2005 World Championships. He's a gold medal winner at the 2008 Beijing Olympics in the decathlon. And the decathlon champion is referred to as the world's greatest athlete. So he's got some pretty amazing accomplishments. The reason why Brian is such a special individual to me is because I always wanted to be an All-American athlete. And going into my senior year, I remember being extremely inspired by Brian's achievement at the Olympics in 2004. And I remember watching all of the videos I could find on him, breaking down his technique, how he did all of the different events. And it really inspired me to become the All-American athlete that I did become in the decathlon. He was the guy that I followed to learn how I could do it myself. So it's great to be coming full circle now and actually interviewing the guy that I was really inspired by while becoming an All-American athlete. But we've got a very special segment on this interview called Talk to the Coach. Now, I had a chance to sit down with Brian's coach, and here he introduces himself.
We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card, you call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone if you only had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Kevin Reed, I'm the head track and field coach at Azusa Pacific University, and then Brian Clay's coach as well, personal coach.
So I asked him about what makes Brian a champion, and he said this.
The thing that makes Brian a champion, beyond his physical attributes, is he is, even when he came and he really didn't know any better, he's always wanted to become a student of the sport. And he does a great job of walking that line of wanting to understand everything that he's doing, but then still at the same time trusting me and the other coaches that are a part of his group, even if he might not quite understand yet what we're doing or what we're trying to do with him, he still trusts us that the road that we're on is the right road, even though as much as he wants to understand it, and we'll sit down afterwards and still try to work through it practice after practice. He's a student of the sport. At the same time, he's so coachable. He'll do whatever we ask him to do.
Now, my follow-up question was, is a champion born or trained? And here's what he had to say.
There's a little bit of both on that. There's obviously some baseline physical talent, but there's a lot of people walking around with a lot of physical ability that don't have the ability to put it together when it counts. And I think Brian has proven over the last, going on, 12 years now, with the success at the games, he's been able to put it together when it counts. As a decathlete, his success is really measured by what he does at the Olympic Games. And with a silver in 2004, the gold in 2008, 2012 kind of yet to unfold. He's shown that he's able to bring it and put it together when it counts.
Big thanks again to Kevin Reed for taking a moment to chat with us. So as you can tell, Brian is an incredible athlete, and we're honored to have him on the show. So let's get straight into the interview with the world's greatest athlete. Tell me a little bit about how you got started in the decathlon in the first place.
When I was growing up, I was not a good kid. I made a lot of bad decisions, got into a lot of trouble, from one school to another. And my mom got me involved in counseling because of some, things that were going on, with my parents being divorced and all the fighting and the abuse and all that kind of stuff that was going on in the house. My mom found out that I was suicidal. And so, I think it was fifth or sixth grade or something like that, she said, hey, look, you can either run track and field or you can swim. And that was because of the advice of the counselor.
Right.
It sounds funny, but it's true. I didn't want to wear Speedo, and so I chose track and field. And that's kind of how it all got started. So,
how old were you then?
I think I was in sixth grade. It was my sixth grade year when my mom gave me that choice. And that's kind of when I started on a club team. But before that, I did, I competed in school, and there was like inter-school competitions and physical fitness competitions and things like that I competed in. And I always wanted to play football or be on the Pop Warner football team or the basketball team or something like that. But just because of my behavior, my mom wouldn't let me play because she was afraid I was going to end up getting into a fight or, doing something stupid. And then we'd have more problems to deal with. So she said those are the only two sports that are individual sports. And, if you do good, it's because you did good. If you do bad, it's because you did bad. You can't blame anybody. You don't have to touch anybody. So those are the ones you can do.
Yeah. Now, why do you think you were such a bad kid, or why were you suicidal, or what made you think those things?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what made me, kind of dip into the depression and all that kind of stuff. I know that my family life, things were just kind of in turmoil. My parents, their marriage was falling apart. I wasn't doing well in school. I was constantly getting in trouble in school. So you just take all of that and then the fact that, I really didn't know, any other emotion than anger. If I got sad, it turned into anger. If I was disappointed, it turned into anger. That was what was modeled for me, and that was all I saw. And so that's how I acted. I think all those things had something to do with it, but I also think that was just where I was and the path that I was on. And so it took a lot of work to kind of refocus myself and get away from all that. And it took the help of so many people to help me understand how to get away from there. And it took a long, long time, too.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit more about your mom, because it sounds like she has a big influence in your life. Was she the most influential person for you for making the decision to transition from being a bad kid to, where you're at now?
I think my mom, played a very pivotal role in my growing up. There were decisions that she made that to this day I still don't completely understand, and I'm not exactly sure how she had the wisdom to make some of those decisions, But I think a lot of it maybe was just out of desperation, because she didn't know what else to do. But, I learned this a few years ago, after the 2008 Olympics. I talk about this when I go and speak to different groups and things, corporations and things. But my mom, and just did her best, you know, and really that's, I think as a parent, you know, I'm a parent now, as a parent, that's all you're called to do is, you know, you give your best. And I think, you know, deep down inside, I think God honors that, you know, when he sees that you're giving your best, he'll honor that. And I think your kids turn out, will turn out okay. And, you know, you'll do a good job. And so, you know, for my mom's, you know, for everybody, their best is something a little bit different. For my mom, you know, her best was kind of feeding me these little seeds that she was planting in me, you know, telling me that I was going to make it, that there was a plan for me, that God had a plan for my life, and some of those different things. And with her giving her best, you know, I was able to now, you know, reap the benefits of kind of that effort.
Yeah, she was giving you confidence the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
Now let me know when. So you won the Olympic gold in 2008. You won the silver in 2004. You were world champion a couple times, right? You're national champion.
Yeah, yeah.
Top of your college, top in high school. You were like all state in high school, four different events.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Now, when is it that you knew? When was the moment you knew you were a champion? Or that you knew you were one of the top?
Oh gosh, I mean. You know, I guess from a very early age, I always knew that I was blessed with an ability to run. I knew that, and I started winning. You know, right around that my high school years, I started to put together some good meets and started winning some meets, and that went really, really well. But you know, I don't know if you ever realize that, you know, that you're the best. I mean, even now, after accomplishing everything that I've accomplished, I still don't see myself with some of the guys that came before me. You know, I still feel like I'm still trying to attain that, you know, like Bruce Jenner and Bill Toomey and Rafer Johnson and you know, some of those guys that, you know, have done it and really kind of paved the way. It's just weird for me to think of myself in the same boat as some of them. And so, I don't know, maybe once I retire, you know, it'll settle in and I'll feel like maybe I belong to that group. But right now, you know, I feel like I haven't quite reached that status, you know, and I want to. That's what I want to be able to have my name mentioned with those guys and I want to have it feel comfortable. So we'll see. I don't know. But you know, I think I've done a good job. I think I can always do better. Right. And hopefully we'll be able to do that this year going into London.
Right. What's the main thing? I know we talked about this before, but what's the main thing that drives you to be the best? What is it? Is it more you think your family? Is it think you have something to prove? Is it?
Well, you know, I mean, I do have a family now. I've got three kids and a wife. So, you know, just putting food on the table and keeping a house, a roof over their head is a, you know, I think is drive in itself. But realistically, you know, the track is just what I love. I love to do it. I always tell people, you know, track is what I love, but it's not who I am. So while I spend a lot of time here on the track and while I'm constantly trying to better myself and you know, I want to win and all that kind of stuff, that's not the only thing that matters to me. And my family is very, very important to me. My faith is very, very important to me. And so I spend a lot of time making sure that my priorities are in order and my priorities are, you know, faith comes first, family comes second, and track and everything else comes third. And so, you know, that's how I do it. I know other people do it differently, but that's how I reach the most success.
Right.
And you know, with that, I'll never forget. My coach told me when I was getting my track scholarship, when he was giving me a scholarship, he said, "Brian, to whom much is given, much is expected." Mm. And I've never forgotten that. And so I truly believe that with what I've been blessed with the ability that I've been blessed with the platform that I've been given, it was given to me for a reason.
Right.
And I'm supposed to go out and share my story and try to make the world a better place, even if it's just one person at a time. And that's what I'm trying to do. I want to inspire and do what we say in my foundation, you know, build champions and change lives.
Right, right. Now tell me about your faith. So you were a bad kid, got into fights, and growing up in Hawaii. Now when is the moment, and your mom was always talking about taking you to church, she was talking about prayer. When was the moment where you started to turn to start believing in your faith? And when, what was the moment or the day, or do you remember the...
It wasn't until my sophomore year of college, going into my junior year. I mean, we always had, you know, my mom left when we were younger and went away, became a Christian, came back, and knew that she needed to, you know, come back to her family and do that sort of thing. And so all that went on, and she came back, and when she came back, she was on fire for God, and, you know, started making us go to church, started making... you know, my dad go to church and everything, and it was you know, it was difficult at first because it was a very different lifestyle than we were used to. But you know, when I first started going, it wasn't something that I really enjoyed doing. But then, you know, it kind of grew on you, and it was just something that was constant. When I was younger, I always tell people that I had a relationship with Christ through my parents, right, you know, right. But I didn't have like my own kind of relationship, you know. But it wasn't until that sophomore year, that summer of my sophomore year in college, that I kind of hit rock bottom and kind of, you know, kind of got into a depression again and kind of, you know, got to the point where I was like, you know, what would somebody say about me if I wasn't here? Mm. You know, I wasn't doing good in track here at the school, at Azusa Pacific, and I wasn't really doing well in my grades and things like that, not as well as I wanted to be doing, and, you know, I was just unhappy. I mean, I had friends and all that kind of stuff, but it was just, it wasn't the type of friends that give you, you know, like joy, you know, that make you want to wake up in the morning, and so just kind of fake friendships, and my girlfriend at the time had broken up with me, and I was like, oh, this sucks, you know, because this is the girl I wanted to marry, and by the way, now she's my wife, so, I mean, this was the girl that I wanted to marry. I knew this was the girl I wanted to marry, and she had broken up with me, and I was like, oh, you just screwed that one up. And so I kind of fell into this depression because I asked myself the question, like, what would somebody say about me if I wasn't in the room, or if I was, you know, better off if I was dead? And the only thing I could come up with was they would say, you know, oh, I remember Brian Clay, he was a really good athlete. And at the time, I wasn't even like that good of an athlete. I mean, I was good for my school and I was good in high school and that sort of thing, but there was, you know, a U.S. level, like a national level that I even hadn't even tapped into yet, and then there was an international level that I wasn't even close to doing. I mean, it was still a dream. It wasn't reality at that point. And so so I felt like even that was a lie, you know? And so really, you know, what it came down to was there was absolutely nothing that anybody would have to say about me if I was dead. And that hit me hard. I was like, gosh, that sucks. That really sucks.
Is that when you started turning?
Yeah, and that's kind of when I was like, okay, well, if I want life to be different, what do I need to do? You know, what am I going to do here to change things? And I started, you know, I didn't have anything else to fall back on. So, you know, the thing I fell back on was all the things that my mom, you know, kind of mirrored for me. Now, my mom wasn't perfect, you know, but there were certain things that she did well. And so, you know, I fell back on those, and I'd start waking up in the mornings and I'd go sit in the cafeteria and look at my Bible and just be like, okay, you know, what am I supposed to be learning here? Like, where can I find some help? And I just flip through the Bible and find something. I'd read for a little while, eat my breakfast, and go to class, you know? And that's kind of how it started. It just started with these disciplines of these little things, and that grew into something bigger. And that's kind of what started the whole, you know, turnaround for me. And I've been tested pretty hard since then. And I think that, you know, we made a pretty heartfelt decision that I wanted to live differently. You know, the thing for me is, I remember a pastor was preaching a message once, and it was about change. And he said, you know, the human, you know, a human person, we won't change until the process of change looks better than where we're currently at. You know, because that process of change is, it's scary, it's lonely, it's the unknown, it's hard, you know, all that kind of stuff. And nobody in their right mind is going to willingly step into a process like that unless they're, you know, where they're at is just unbearable.
Right.
And so that's kind of where I was at. You know, I saw what the future was going to look like had I kept on that path. I mean, things were going off everywhere. Things were just happening. I mean, it was almost getting kicked out of school, and it was, you know, I mean, it was just bad. And I just saw what life looked like if I had kept going, and I was like, that is not the life that I want, you know? Right. And so I chose a different one.
So I've always been curious to know about some of the greatest champions and winners of our time in athletics. Mm-hmm. And when I think of a winner, I think of someone who's got a strong belief. And usually it comes down to belief in themselves or belief in their faith or God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think you put a stronger belief in your faith that everything's going to work out well, that you're in the right position and you're just going to let things unfold? Or do you have a strong belief in yourself and your dedication and your commitment? And what do you put more belief in, yourself or God?
Oh, gosh. I mean, you know, that's a tough one. I mean, it's tough, but it's not tough. I mean, you know, for me, I have to believe in myself. I have to believe that I can get the job done and all that kind of stuff. I don't think anybody that's out here can do what we're doing without some sort of belief in themselves. But I think it's confidence more than anything else. But I also think a lot of athletes, when you talk to them, will tell you that you know, there are so many situations that arise that you have absolutely no control over. And they have to happen. They have to go well for you to win or for you to get that gold medal. And so I think a lot of athletes will have a belief in like faith or, you know, in God because they understand, or at least for them, they feel like, you know, look, somebody's controlling it. Somebody knows what's happening and it's not me. So, it's gotta be them. For me, you know, my faith is, it's where I get my strength. It's everything. It's my core. It's where I've built my foundation. And so I have to put my belief in my faith. I think the difference is, you know, the question that we asked, I was going to, you know, I wanted to do this, I wanted to do a documentary on, you know, does God really care? You know, does God care if you win, you know, if you win the football game or if you score a touchdown or if you win the gold medal? Like,
sure.
Does he really care about stupid, trivial things like that?
Is he on your side?
Yeah, is he on your side or like some other guy that's praying right next to you? You know, like, why does he choose you over that person? And I think, at least for me, what I've found is the answer is God doesn't really care about, like, you know, the outcome of a games or of a football game or something like that. What he cares about is the process. It's the lead up to that, you know, it's the lessons that you're learning along the way. So for me, it's like, you know, I talk to people and people are like, oh, do you have your gold medal? Like, would you keep it in like a safety deposit box or something? I'm like, no, like, dude, my medal sits like in my sock drawer. You know, half the time I can't find it. You know, it's somewhere in my house hidden. And I try to explain to them, you know, the medal is great. You know, it's absolutely amazing. But the medal, it's a symbol. And in my book, I talk about this, you know, it's a stone of remembrance for my life, right? So for me, because my faith is, I believe so strongly in my faith and the fact that God is right there along with me and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, I feel like my medal is just a way for me, like God allowed me to win the medal because when people ask me, how did you win that medal? I can then say, it's because of the faithfulness of God. It has nothing to do with me. Like, I worked hard and I do like this, but so does everybody else.
Right.
You know, everybody else does the exact same thing. But I think it's because the faithfulness of God in my life. And I think, you know, God gives you those blessings or he'll let you win or he'll let you lose so that it glorifies him.
Right.
You know, so it always comes back to him, not us. And so, so for me, you know, it was all about the journey. It was the lessons that I learned on the way. And what I can do is I can come now, I can take that medal and I can walk out there and I can say, look, I won this medal. It's great. But look at what God's done in my life. Look at the faithfulness that he's always been there. And how can you deny that there's a God? Like, for me, I can't deny that there's a God because I know I've experienced it. And ultimately, as a Christian, that's what you hope everybody else would do too, is that they would experience God in some way, shape, or form in their life and become a believer, you know?
Range Rover Sport leads by example. Picture this. Assertive on-road performance meets commanding all-terrain capability. That's the third generation Range Rover Sport, which is the most desirable, advanced, and dynamically capable one yet. This vehicle redefines sporting luxury, offering an instinctive drive with engaging on-road dynamics and effortless composure. Now available in sleek, new Stealth Pack, Carpathian gray exterior wrapped in satin protective film with black accents and black brake calipers. Inside the Range Rover Sport, advanced cabin technology like active noise cancellation and cabin air purification offer new levels of comfort and refinement. And let's not forget about the award-winning Pivi Pro infotainment system. Enjoy a dynamic drive and total comfort with optional 22-way adjustable, heated, and ventilated electric memory front seats with massage function. Wow, that's like a spa day while on the go. Design your Range Rover Sport at LandRoverUSA.com. One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all, or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life. So don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide.
All right, now what was the biggest setback over the last 15 years for you? Biggest obstacle you had to overcome to achieving your goal?
Oh, geez. I mean, right now it's just age. You know, age is a big obstacle right now. I mean, I can't train like I used to. I mean, I train just as hard, but I need to be smarter and listen to my body more. I'm not recovering as quickly. And I'm still doing okay, but it's tough as you get older.
Right.
So that's that. And then, of course, we've had injuries and things like that. But, I mean, look, it's never not a challenge. There's always, you know, something trying to knock you off the top, you know, or derail you from you know, reaching the top. And so to pick one, I don't know if I can pick one, but there's always something. I mean, if it's not, you know, my own personal struggles with keeping my priorities in order or maintaining balance in my life or something like that, then it's problems with sponsors. If it's not problems with sponsors, then it's, you know, problems on the track with technique and that sort of thing. If it's not problems on the track with technique, then it's, you know, meets or, you know, or there's an injury or something. There's always something. And that's what I mean when I talk about the journey. It's working through all of those challenges and clearing all those hurdles and obstacles and learning the lessons that need to be learned, you know, when you're going through that. In the end, hoping that you come out a champion, you know, a true champion, not just a champion on the track, but a champion in life as well.
Right. And what's been the most proud moment for you in your athletic career? What's been the best moment? Was it winning the gold on the podium? Was it Wheaties box? What was the
best moment for me was when I crossed the finish line of the 1500 meters when I won the gold medal. I crossed the finish line. I came in, I think, dead last in the 15, which, you know, I absolutely hate that race. Yeah. But I think I came in dead last in the 15. I was completely exhausted. I didn't even know if I was going to be able to run it. But I ran it and finished dead last and laid down on the track. And when I crossed the finish line, I laid there on the track and, you know, my eyes were closed and everything. And I was just kind of thinking, like, oh, my gosh, you did it. You won the gold medal. Yeah. And the slideshow of my life was going through my head. And it was like I was seeing like all these scenes from my life fast forward through my head, and it would stop on one slide, and I would be like, oh yeah, that was worth it, you know. And it would fast forward again, and it would stop on another slide, and I'd be like, oh yeah, that was worth it too. And I mean, so it just kept doing that, and it fast forwarded all the way to the point where I was laying there on the track, and what I realized at the time is, I had, you know, by no means am I perfect. By no means did I make great decisions all the time. Right. Made tons of mistakes. But I had accomplished my goal, my dream for my life. I'd accomplished it at a young age. I was 28. And I had absolutely no regrets.
Right.
And for me, that was the proudest moment of my life. My family, my faith was number one in my life. My family was number two. And track and everything else came third. I maintained who I was. I maintained my values and my morals and my beliefs. I maintained my priorities. I didn't sell my soul for a little bit of fame or for the win. You know, I stayed true to who I was and what I was taught and what I believe, and I was still able to succeed. Because there are a lot of people out there that'll tell you that, you know, you can't do it the way that I did. You can't maintain your values. You can't maintain your morals. You have to sacrifice or give in certain areas. You know, you might give with your family. You might be, you know, staying late at work and going to meetings rather than eating dinner with your family every night. A lot of people tell you you can't do that. You know, you can't eat dinner with your family every night and put them in front of your career. And I was able to do it doing exactly that. And so that was a very, very proud moment for me. And I'm just trying to, you know, look, I'm just trying to be the best guy, the best man I can be in life. And if that means that I go out and win another gold medal, great. If it means I don't and I just have my family, well, you know, that's great too. Either way, it's a win-win for me. And I think I'm going to walk away from my career and move into my next career being a very satisfied and happy person.
I'll tell you what, Brian Clay has an incredible story, and I truly enjoyed doing this interview. It's amazing to me that Brian has achieved so much and still maintains such a balanced life. And if you'd like to learn more about Brian, then make sure to visit his website at brianclay.com. And you can also check out the Brian Clay Foundation, where he hopes to build champions and change lives. As always, feel free to head over to schoolofgreatness.com to sign up for free to be notified of our next episodes. And if you appreciate the show, please leave us a 5-star iTunes review, because we love to get the positive message out to the world. Until next time, thanks for listening, and make sure to do something great. I'm coming home.
Vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.